Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now it's time for Inside the Clubhouse, a show dedicated to the Chicago baseball fan, featuring the best Chicago baseball conversation as well as the big MLB topics, starring Score baseball insider Bruce Levine and half of Chicago's number one sports morning show, David Haw, on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Good Saturday morning, Chicago. Welcome back inside the clubhouse on 670 The Score or your free Odyssey app, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. I am David Haw, along with Bruce Levine, talking baseball like we do every Saturday morning, taking a break from bracket busting and the Caleb coronation and everything else, counting down to opening day, making our predictions today that are bound to be right. Right, Bruce? Good morning.
Good morning, David. Yeah, we're not talking football today?
We're not talking football. We can if you like, but we have been exhaustively talking football all week, all off season. Let's talk baseball, because opening day, here we are, March 23rd, and we are 5 days away from another baseball season.
Yeah, I get the chills when you say that, in more ways than one.
You will likely get the chills Thursday at Guaranteed Rate Field at about 3:10 as well.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, again, opening day for all of us baseball fans is like, you know, Christmas, New Year's Eve, all thrown together. So I'm excited about that. But it's not about how I feel, David. It's about how the people feel that listen to the show. As Chicago baseball fans, the greatest in the world. Cub fans, what are you looking forward to? Are you comfortable, David, with the fact that Cubs will go in most quarters the favorite to win the National League Central?
That's a good question for Cub fans, because it's been a while since that's been the case. Heading into a season, the favorites in the division again, like it was back in, what, 2019, maybe 2020? You have to go back a few years. 312-644-6767. White Sox fans, are you indifferent, or are you angry, or are you interested? Which of the three, and will you stay away, or will you go out 3:10 on Thursday to begin another season? That's a promise and a threat. And the White Sox, Thursday at 3:10, will play against the Detroit Tigers, are in town. Tariq Skubal and Garrett Crochet, our 10:30 guest today, Bruce. We have Coomer coming up at 9:30. Ron Coomer joins us, the Cubs analyst at the Cubs radio booth. We've got a lot of things going on today. 312-644-6767. Where would you like to start?
I want to start with the White Sox.
I just like asking you that, because you're kind enough to ask me that when you're on the Mullin Haw show. You always say, where would you like to start? So, Bruce, where would you like to start? The White Sox today.
Well, I want to start with the White Sox. And I want to get, you know, a feeling from you, David, as well as White Sox followers, fans, how they are going into the season. Are you looking for, if you're a White Sox fan, David, are you looking forward to this season, or are you dreading it? I had a friend of mine from California say, hey, I know some of your friends in Chicago are White Sox fans. Are they going to be rooting for the Cubs this year? And I said, no, you don't get it. You're a White Sox fan. You're not going to ever be a Cub fan, okay? You're not switching because the White Sox might not be good enough to watch intently all year.
Okay? I definitely understand where you're coming from. I also think that this offseason, and I've only been in town, Bruce, for 21 years, but I'm familiar with the Chicago sports scene for my entire life. But this offseason feels like Sox fans are as fed up as they ever have been. and maybe that will lead to a different response to the opening of the season. I do think there are things to watch, but I also understand the inherent skepticism that every White Sox fan is entitled to, especially after 101 losses. I don't think this team is very recognizable. It's a hard team to like, but I don't know if it's harder to identify.
David, I'll throw in a positive, and that is from the second half of 2022 through 23, White Sox fans cannot go into 2024 and be disappointed. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I think the huge disappointment of 22 and 23, a Sox fan cannot feel that vibe, okay? It's not there. Now, can you be in if you're a huge White Sox fan, if you're a great Chicago baseball fan, can you ignore your season? I don't think you can. I just don't.
It's a great question. As we sit here on Saturday morning, 312-644-6767, we will get to your White Sox calls. Also, Bruce, Cub fans, you asked the question, the big picture question, how comfortable are they being a favorite in the division? The only way they continue to be a favorite, let's face it, is if Justin Steele is healthy. And that came under some question on Friday during a scary moment in the second inning against the Giants. Justin Steele hit on his knee by a comebacker. And I think Cub fans, Cub Nation held its breath collectively until you knew exactly how he was. How is he? Well, we don't know, but we think he's okay because he tweeted out later, "I'm okay. My bracket is not." So at least he's laughing. But Bruce, that was a scary moment. What do you think?
Well, David, I think is that at the very least, this is going to disrupt the Cubs' opinion about who should start opening day, because you were supposed to build up to 80 pitches yesterday, okay? You only got through one inning. So with that in mind, it would be, I think, careless to let Steele go into the start next Thursday without having thrown enough pitches in his last start. Normally, baseball the last 10 years, the starting pitcher in spring training throws 6 days before opening day, sometimes seven, and then he throws a side or two beforehand. David, is a side or two beforehand, before Thursday, which is side sessions usually 30 pitchers or so, is that going to be enough for you if you're the Chicago Cubs to say, you know what, let's make Justin our fifth starter, start him again in Arizona, an extended, you know, spring training.
That's
there.
Interesting.
And then make Kyle Hendricks our opening day starter.
Because right now he's scheduled to go against Nathan Eovaldi at 6:30 Central down in Texas against the Rangers. That game is national televised. Big stage. You know he doesn't want to miss that. You also know that he's very important to everything the Cubs do. Pushing him back, it reinforces the idea that it's only one game, but it is opening night. And there's some pomp, there's some circumstance, there's some prestige attached to being your opening day starter after the season Justin Steele had. Yeah. One thing we do know, Bruce, is that this week Craig Counsell basically, I don't want to say surprised, I'll get your opinion in a moment, but Javier Assad is going into the rotation, Drew Smyly will not be. And regardless of who Craig Counsell decided to go with, Justin Steele discussed the depth of the starting rotation for the Cubs and how everybody is going to have to play their part at one point or another.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like top to bottom, you know, every pitcher we have is, we feel we're capable of pitching big innings at some point during the regular season. And that, you know, that's a really good thing to have, because 162 is a, you know, it's a marathon. You know, you're going to need every soldier you need. And, you know, we feel like every pitcher we have on staff, you know, can go out there and pitch big innings for us. So it's really important to have through 162 and beyond.
Bruce, how much of that decision had to do with the Cubs wanting to avoid four left-handers in the rotation?
I think a lot. The other part is the feel-good about Assad as being the ultra swingman. I mean, you know he's been outstanding as a middle reliever, but last year, you know, people, I think, have short memories about what happened, you know, when they lost their number one starter to injury, and Assad stepped up and pitch as well as any pitcher in their rotation the rest of the way. I mean, he threw some huge innings, you know, I don't think they've forgotten that. Will he step back out when Tyone comes back? I don't know. I don't expect Tyone anytime soon. I expect even if he's starting to throw right now, he's going to have to build up his pitch count again. I would say toward the end of April would be a most realistic for Tyone.
And that, to me, is not a good way to start a season in which you are considered the favorite in the division, or if you want to be looked at as the favorite in the division. You need Jameson Tyone to be part of that reason why, and you want your pitching depth and your starters to be the biggest reason why, which brings me to another question regarding the Cubs before we get out to the phone lines, Bruce. When you look at their reality and their ability to be that favorite and to win maybe 88, 92 games, whatever you want to predict, and we'll do our predictions at 10, is Jordan Montgomery a worthwhile one-year, two-year overpay in terms of a free agent contract? Isn't he still available? Yeah, I know he's the various reports, he's negotiating with some other teams, but doesn't Jordan Montgomery make sense for at least the Cubs to keep their options open and maybe overpay for a year of starting?
He makes baseball reporter sense. He makes baseball talk show sense. He makes fan sense. Does he make business sense? Okay. And fans will say, well, you're this close, you shouldn't care about going over the luxury tax. Okay, they're going to go way over the luxury tax with a $25 million signing of Montgomery, okay? You're also going to be, if you do it, unless you do it by opening day and he's on that roster, if it's a one-year deal, you don't get a player back if he opts out. Okay.
Do you view him as a missing piece?
No, but I view him as a viable pitcher. It's just, to me, I think he's a very good pitcher. I think he's a 3 or a 4. I don't necessarily think he's the difference between the Cubs winning 87 or 88 games compared to 84, 85. I don't see it.
I like the confidence they place in Jordan Wicks and putting him in the rotation and taking Smiley out. I also think it had a lot to do with Smiley being the consummate pro and also more versatile at this stage of his career. Is that part of why they were felt comfortable using Drew Smiley in what is probably going to be a hybrid role?
Well, you know, I have concerns about the left-hander in the bullpen. They didn't have one last year at all, okay? You know, in and out, Little came in toward the end of the year. Little is probably going to make the team this year, okay? He's been throwing, you know, BBs out there. He's throwing 98, 99. He can get the big league hitters out. It's going to be a big deal. But, you know, Smiley is more of a swing guy, and, you know, he might be needed to be a starter at some point as well. So, David, I don't know. He's also, if you believe in spring training numbers or not, he hasn't looked great, you know, in spring training. I don't put a lot of credence in that, but, you know, I was talking to Ron Coomer, and he'll be our guest at 9:30 about this yesterday, and he said, you know, he's been mostly getting hit really hard on his fastball. So, you know, we know in spring training, and especially in Arizona, breaking balls don't necessarily do what you always want them to do. I'm fine with him as a backup, but I'm a little concerned about left-handers in the bullpen for the Cubs.
I think it's a good concern to have. I also think that if they were to go out today and sign Jordan Montgomery to a 1 or 2 year deal, and it would overpay, and people would look at the wisdom of that investment because of its size, I would think, okay, certain times call for certain changes in your approach. The Cubs are in a position now where they can go out, and if they want to try to lead the division from day one throughout the end of the season like they did in 2016, why not? I would understand that. I know they've been reluctant to do that, but I think Jordan Montgomery right now for this team at this time, there are worse ideas, Bruce. We've come up with more worse ideas than that.
David, are the Cubs a realistic World Series challenger to you?
I believe that after last year, if you get into the playoffs, you can consider yourself a legit World Series contender. because I think you just want to get in.
You're right that the last 2 years, now that there's six spots open.
Yeah, it's the lesson. Look around us. March Madness. It is the equivalent of that.
Right.
There's so much variance. There's so much flukiness. There's so many things that could happen in October that you can't anticipate. All you want to do is get in.
But if you're an owner like Tom Ricketts, or if you're an owner of the Angels, you're Artie Moreno, you might say, and this might work to the opposite of what you're talking about, and that is, hey, we're going to win 84, 85 games as we're constituted right now. Why spend the extra $25 million, okay? We're peaking at the end. That is what we're going to do. In July is the time that we'll add another pitcher to the mix. That's the time to go. Why spend all our money now?
It's a good debate. It's a fair question. But I think that if you want to win and you're serious about winning, you show it. And signing Jordan Montgomery to a contract that might be risking overpaying him, that would be one way to show it. What do you think? 312-644-6767. The Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Let's start the conversation with Mike in Glencoe. Good morning, Mike. Welcome inside the clubhouse.
Good morning, fellas. And to your question, as a Sox fan, I'm too depressed to even think about what their record will be this year. I have a different kind of issue, a question for you. This has been one of the weirdest off-the-field weeks in baseball in a long time. Which of the Ohtani and revolt of the players against Scott Boras controversy do you guys see as having the longest term impact on the game? I personally see this as the first shot of an enormous labor relations problem that we're going to have. But what is your thinking?
Bruce, let you go first.
Well, I mean, that's a subject for an entire segment for us. Okay. I don't think I can answer it in briefly, but I think the issue, both issues are separately very important. Gambling and sports athletes with the situation with Ohtani, very interesting and possibly hypocritical situation for Major League Baseball on a number of different levels, David. I want to get your opinion as well. And then with the Players Association, a couple years ago, minor league players have been added to the mix, okay, with the association. There's an executive council of about 75 guys. 34 of them are minor league people now. So you have a different influx of opinion, and control of the union is being challenged by these minor league people and by other people that are saying, you know what, we've had enough Scott Boras picking out the guys like Myers, who's the main negotiator for the union. His day is through.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a big story. I think a lot of it gets deep into the weeds more so than maybe a lot of listeners want to go, but I do think it's significant because Scott Boras doesn't have term limits. He's going to be there forever. And I do think the pushback this week has been fascinating, and you do wonder where it is headed. I don't think, to answer the question directly from Mike, it's a good one, I don't think it rises to the level of concern or even impact that the Shohei Ohtani investigation could have on Major League Baseball.
Right.
Because what you're talking about is a global icon in terms of baseball and just sports in general being linked to a scandal potentially that implicates him, or he's going to have to explain his way out of. It already has cast some aspersions on his reputation. There's going to be some reputational damage. What we want to know is if he bet on baseball. We want to know, is this Pete Rose or is this Phil Mickelson? Is this a guy that is betting on the game or a guy that just bets on other sports and is bad at it? I don't know.
Or even more damaging, supporting somebody around him that's in the clubhouse all the time in his own particular problems with gambling.
What did he bring into the game? What did he bring into the sport? What did he bring into the Dodgers organization? The Cubs, did they dodge a bullet here and not getting into the Ohtani sweepstakes? I don't know where this is headed. There's so much information left, Mike, to gather and to sift through, and to you want to be fair in the conclusions you reach, and you want to base those conclusions on facts and evidence that is real, not things that are speculated about.
Yeah, I just, like I said, this is this topic's worthy of whole shows.
Yeah.
Okay, and We're not going there today with our opening day show for Cubs and White Sox, but it's certainly a worthy topic.
No doubt about it, Bruce. Let's get back to baseball. Ron is on the South Side talking to White Sox. Good morning, Ron. Welcome inside the clubhouse.
Okay, good morning. And I'm going to make three quick points, guys. I want to mention some about baseball. Hey, Dave, I agree with you. There are a lot of variances in the game. But instead of a team that could probably win 84, I'd rather be the Atlanta Braves, which I think is the best team in baseball. Doesn't guarantee it, but that's where I'm going. Also, at 10 o'clock, I definitely look forward to you all's prediction all the time. I write them down, so y'all be careful. I'm writing them down and listening. And you know what? The interesting thing, it is amazing. Only 2 years ago in 22, you all both had the Sox going to the World Series against the Dodgers. Now, I'll get to the White Sox real quick. I'm trying to look and see if different prospects, looking forward to Colson Montgomery, maybe the third baseman, Brian Ramos. But there are two players that are on the team that I think, you know, they'll be here maybe next season. And I want to see progress. Andrew Vaughn, 20-80, not good enough for that position when you're just an average defensive player. And lastly, Andrew Benintendi. I don't want this to turn into Yasmani Grandal type of contract. So we got to hope.
You're on your way.
That was just
you're
an off season.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's it, guys.
Great call, Ron.
Baseball is back. Thank you, guys.
Baseball is back.
Thank you.
They started over in Korea on Wednesday and Thursday. It goes back to everyone else starts and resumes it on Thursday, opening day in Chicago and down in Texas. Bruce, two guys he mentioned, Benintendi and Andrew Vaughn, they need to have big years for the Sox.
They do. You know, the problem is with the Sox lineup, how much protection is going to be there for people? You know, if you are a hot hitter, like if you're Luis Robert, you know, how many teams are going to choose not to pitch to Luis Robert or Eloy at certain different points? If Eloy stays healthy on the field, he's already shown in spring training that the bat is pretty live, you know, and it's come back. You know, again, he missed some time because he fouled a ball off of his foot. But
that was the most predictable headline of the spring.
I think if you're a gambler, if you want to bet the over-under on Eloy's games played.
Okay? 125, I'll take the under.
Okay. I mean, it's been his whole career.
I know.
Yeah.
And if he plays more than 125, everyone's going to be happy, and he might be traded.
You know, but I mean, a guy like – I mean, and it's just like J.D. Martinez just signed with the Mets, okay? He hit 33 home runs, drove in 103 last year in 490 at-bats. He only played 115 games. That's real production.
That's real production.
And that's kind of like what Eloy is. You know, if he's out there for 500 at-bats, you can predict 30 home runs. You can predict 100 RBI. If he ever gets out there for 600, you know, the superstar season is upon us.
I'll make one prediction before we get to a break. Mike Moustakas and Kevin Pillar will not be hitting home runs for the White Sox. They were released on Friday.
Right.
Veterans who joined the team before spring training went through spring training, and now they're on the street. Their choice?
I think it was a combination. You know, the veterans who signed these non-roster invitee contracts – yesterday was a date, you know, you kind of had to let them know if they're going to be making the team or not. They kind of had to let you know if they had, most of them have the opt out. So you had the Cubs, Dominic Smith opting out of his, I'm hearing that, Japan and, Korea are both making offers to him. So he probably wants to take advantage of that. And then with these two guys, it's like, we don't know whether the White Sox wanted them gone or they said, hey, you know, we're veterans. We don't want to play for a last place team and try to find 200 at-bats for each of us during a season. Doesn't do us any good.
He's Bruce Levine. I'm David Haw. This is Inside the Clubhouse. When we come back, Ron Coomer, tell us what he has seen in spring training. Watching the Cubs is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
And the pitch. Fly ball, center field, and deep. Back goes Tottman on the warning track. Leaps up. Did he make the catch? He did. What a play. Tottman took a home run away from Burleson. Cubs win the ball game.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haugh on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Welcome back. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. David Haugh, Bruce Levine, until 11 o'clock talking baseball. Boy, that was a highlight. That was a great catch. That made the summer, the rest of the summer, fun. The Cubs, with that big, huge victory. Mike Tauchman basically secured himself a roster spot for 2024 with that catch.
Maybe. Pretty much.
Pretty much. He did, and I wonder what the expectations for Mike Tauchman are this year, and, of course, the Chicago Cubs front runners in the NL Central. But let's find out what Ron Coomer thinks of that. Now joining us on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline is Ron Coomer. Download the Circus Sports app today. Coom, how are you doing? Thank you for joining us.
I'm doing great, David. Bruce, how are you boys doing?
Doing well. It's a beautiful, cold, 33-degree March Saturday in the city of Chicago. Let's start with that not necessarily highlight from last year, but the carryover effect, Coom. This Cub team comes into the season full of confidence. Craig Counsell is here, and he oozes confidence. How comfortable are they being favorites in the division, if you consider the Cubs favorites in the NL Central?
I do consider them favorites. I think they consider themselves favorites, and I think the manager considers them favorites in the division. And, knowing Counts and kind of what he's done with the Brewers, he's accustomed to being on the top of the division. He's done it pretty well for a long time. That's why Jed Hoyer went out and brought Counts in. I think it's fine. I want guys to feel like, I don't know if it's pressure, but feel the sense of we're a good team. We expect to win. We expect to be at the top of the division, and we expect to be playing in October. We had that feeling, a few years back, and everybody knew it, and you were one of the elite teams, and I think that's what the Cubs are trying to get to once again. I don't think they're quite there yet when you got some other teams in Major League Baseball that are pretty obvious who they are, with LA and some of the other clubs, but New York maybe now, even though they're hurt. But anyway, you got a group here in Chicago that has a lot of confidence, and you're also vulnerable too, though. I mean, we saw yesterday how vulnerable any Major League team can be when you lose your number one starter. So that ground ball off of Steele's knee, I was there. That gives everybody, it gets everybody holding their breath.
Coom, first of all, welcome. Good morning. Thanks for
morning, Bruce. The phone.
Yeah. When you look at the situation with Steele, and let's say he's 100% okay, all right, but he didn't get his 80 pitches in yesterday, and he was not supposed to pitch again. Does that alone eliminate him from being the starting pitcher because he didn't get that workload in yesterday? Can two side sessions make up for it, or is that being naive about what you really want for 32 starts this year?
Well, I'm no pitching guy. We always laugh about that, you and I and everybody in the clubhouse. I think, I'm the hitting guy. All pitchers are – to get the ball in play so we can all play. And I joke about that, obviously, but I really feel for Steele. He throws, he's thrown enough already in spring. This was his final appearance. Didn't work out the way they wanted, obviously, but I think he can get some work in on the side. You want your number one guy to go in game one. And there's a lot of factors to it. I really believe it's a great honor to be the number one starter, and I think there's quite a bit made of it. And I think for Steele, putting that on his shoulders is a good thing. And he's got a little bump in the road here, or a bump in the knee, so to speak. But if he's capable, and he came right out and said it in his own tweet, just, right after the ball game, he's okay. If he's okay to go, if it's me, I run him out there. I think you get your number one guy out there and let him pitch. And, it's unfortunate that he didn't get the perfect, road to opening day. But that's okay. That's baseball. And move forward with that and just throw your best guy out there and let's play.
Coom, what did you think about the move and decision to include Javier Assad in the starting rotation as Jameson Taillon heals from a back situation instead of Drew Smyly, who goes to the bullpen?
I really like it, David. I was a big fan of Assad last year. He's kind of the quiet, unsung hero of the Cubs pitching staff last year. You know, you don't talk a lot about him. He doesn't, you know, get a lot of attention because he doesn't – he's a quiet guy. He just goes out, takes the ball, gets outs, and comes off the field. You might get a fist bump once in a while, but that's about it. But he's a kid that throws strikes. He's got a good arm, really good arm. And he just pounds the strike zone, and you can count on him. And I'm a big fan of him being in the rotation. I like the way that sets up for the Cubs better. I also like the fact that with the Cubs having to play Los Angeles, with all their left-handed hitters coming up, you know, with the Cubs having, you know, the lefties in the rotation, to put Smyly in the pen and needing some left-handed pitching in the bullpen with all the left-handed bats the Dodgers are going to feature here coming up right away, I think it sets up well for the Cubs. That's the best scenario they have with the roster that they've got.
Coom, you and I were talked a lot over the last year and a half about getting Christopher Morel a regular position at age 25 to play every day and not being a DH. How has that progressed from what you've seen over there? What does he have to continue to accomplish to do that? And, you know, from your conversations with counsel and the rest of the people, the Cubs in spring training, do you get the feeling he'll have a chance to fail defensively, even if it costs them a game here or there, because of the fact that they're committed to him?
Well, you have to give him a spot, right? There's been a lot of talk throughout the throughout the year of where he fits. And, you know, other scouts have talked about him, you know, putting him in the outfield and just letting him play and letting him hit, right? And that just doesn't really fit well with the Chicago Cubs right now. He's, you know, Counts does not like the idea of saying he's a good athlete so he can play. Counts doesn't like to hear that, and I kind of chuckled when we were talking about it. He goes, I want guys that can get out. They can catch the ball and get out. And that was his big thing in Milwaukee, is keeping runs off the board and run prevention. He speaks of a lot with his entire staff and his team. But I do believe you have to give Christopher a chance. The other thing is his progression, I think, has been very good, Bruce. He's had some bad days, and he's going to have some days in Chicago where it's not going to be pretty, and he's going to get underneath some balls, and his footwork's going to be out of hand, out of sync, and his game clock it doesn't work quite right at the position because he doesn't have enough time there yet. But he has done a really good job at working at it. He's gotten better and better as camp has gone on. To me, the final step is understanding, so they're working with him on his feet and getting his feet in sync with his body and his throwing arm. The final step is that the game clock, there was a play that happened a week ago, a little kind of a softer ground ball to his left where he comes to his left and comes in. A seasoned third baseman catches that ball on the move and gets rid of it immediately, knowing that the runner's getting down the line pretty good and you've got to get rid of it. Christopher caught the ball, took a big crow hop, wound up and threw a fastball across the diamond, and they didn't get the out. To me, those that game clock thing that infielders have that you get as the longer you play a position, that'll be the last step that he's got to take. And there'll be some days where that doesn't work quite right, but he's getting better at it. And I just love watching him work because he is working at it really hard every day.
Last few minutes with Ron Coomer from Cubs Radio, our analyst all season long. He's going to join us Fridays at 8 o'clock at the Mullin Haw Show as usual. Coom, we haven't spoken a lot this spring. I think it says a lot that we haven't. Adbert Alzolay is there at the back end of the bullpen. And there was a great story on Cubs.com this morning from Jordan Bastian about how Alzolay is now being regarded throughout the organization as a leader and his personality, how that helps younger minor leaguers. And he spoke at a graduation ceremony for minor leaguers who were completing the team's English language program and what he brings to the table and how Craig Counsell saw that immediately. Mindset matters for closers. Where are you with Adber Alzolay in terms of expectations and admiration maybe for how far he's come?
Big time admiration. I'll say that. When you're an American player, you grew up here and you see a lot of Latin guys and you're a minor league player, let's say, and you see a lot of the Latin American kids come over here and play. You don't understand the things that they have to go through to try to play here. And it's similar to the Japanese players that come here. The only difference is a lot of the Japanese players are already pretty seasoned in Japanese professional baseball as opposed to the kids that come from Latin America. I didn't realize what you had to go through until I went to Venezuela and played winter ball for 3 months and spoke broken Spanish, you know, didn't have great handle of the language and had to try to navigate through life in Puerto La Cruz, Venezuela, and still play baseball and do all of those things. So I got a great admiration for the young kids that come over here and work hard at the language. They work hard at being good teammates. They become leaders like Alzolay now of the other kids, and they take them under their wing. I watched David Ortiz do that with Christian Guzman in Minnesota. I'm really, really happy for him. And when you become a leader like Alzolay is doing, that is something that's not self-proclaimed. That happens out of work and out of caring for your other teammates. I'm a big fan, and you know, you just see it, and I'm proud of him. It's a really cool thing to see a young guy do. And the other thing too is performance on the field. He was throwing in the backfield yesterday or 2 days ago. His slider is just getting better and better. It's electric. So I'm really pulling for him, and hopefully he'll take that closer role and run with it.
You know, Coom, I'm the old school guy when it comes to the bullpen, and I just don't know how the Cubs got by last year without a left-hander in the bullpen. And this year, you know, they're hoping that, you know, Smiley has some middle innings, but I need a back-end left-hander. Luke Little, you know, throws some seeds. He hits 98. He had a rough one yesterday, but the idea that there's not enough left-handers to go to, does that discourage you? Does that give you some thought, you know, that Counsell won't have that necessarily for him unless Little works out?
I do think it probably gives everybody a little angst, right? You look at it and you go, well, there's, you know, especially with certain teams, and I think the Dodgers are probably first on the list in the National League. You know, where you need left-handed, you need somebody to get left-handers out. I don't care if they're lefty or righty or what it is. Somebody's got to get them out. So that's the one thing. Little had a rough day. Everybody had a rough day at Sloan Park yesterday for the Cubs. It was not pretty. And those days happen. But, you know, I think with Leiter and the split finger, that really helps. Smiley's going to give them some innings. Smiley, to me, is almost a neutral because of the knuckle curve. I really think that pitch is just as effective against right-handed hitters as it is left-handed hitters. Luke Little is the wild card. He did not have command yesterday, and he didn't have a very good outing yesterday, but that happens. To me, I think he's got to make the team. You're facing the groups, and he's a great big kid with a great fastball. Sometimes, you know, maybe just getting him to throw his heater more and get command of his fastball a little bit better, both sides of the plate, then you don't have to try to spin the ball so much. Yeah. He hit 98 yesterday, Bruce. I mean,
yeah, that's great.
6'8", 98.
The one knock on David Ross was he didn't use all the players that they gave him last year, especially at the end. I don't think Counsell will ever be that manager. Do you? Either they're going to be producing for Counsell or they're not going to be there.
Well, I think that could be debated too. There were a lot of guys that were talking about how they were used and they were about to break and all of those things. And you hear that and, you know, you're trying to win and you're trying to get to the playoffs.
Right.
So, you know, there's debate to be talked about in that regard. I think Counts is, you know, in a different situation as of today, and he's going to roll the dice with who he's got, and you find out, especially here early, you find out what you got. When you start talking about September and you're in a pennant race, I think managers get criticized a lot if things don't work out. And you know what? If you could hear the conversations that you do, Bruce, on a daily basis being at the ballpark, of what is being said around the ballpark when it gets to September, it's a different game entirely than it is in April and May.
Coom, you're the best. Appreciate you getting up for us this morning. Have a great week, because opening day will come here Thursday and it'll get here before you know it.
Boys, we got just a couple more days of the sun. I'll work on my tan a little bit. We got three games in a row. And I will see you guys 1st of April. Look forward to it.
Safe travels, Coom.
Seeing you guys back home.
Thanks,
right,
Coom.
Boys.
Ron Coomer.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Cubs analyst right here on The Score. And Thursday is a big day because Bernstein, Holmes, and Rahimi, they'll be live 10 to 2 at Buffalo Wings and Rings on Halstead prior to the Sox home opener, brought to you by Modelo. Then Monday, April 1st, they'll be at Sluggers in Wrigleyville 10 to 12:45, brought to you by BetMGM before the home opener at Wrigley. And Bernstein, Holmes, and Rahimi will be at both the shows to kick off the baseball season Thursday and April 1st right here on 670 The Score. Bruce, pregame right here on The Score Thursday night at 6 o'clock sharp. Cubs and Rangers, cannot wait. The Cubs, Justin Steele is going to be on the mound. We'll talk about who else will be in the lineup possibly when he comes back. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Welcome back Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bruce and I are finalizing our predictions. We're going to share with them with you at 10 o'clock. Victory totals, MVPs, division winners, all the things. Bruce, question though about the Cubs specifically. You mentioned Christopher Morel to Coomer. Good question. I'm as intrigued, if not more, with the development and production of a Michael Busch that I think we have assumed right. Is just going to plug and play. Let's see what you got. What do they have?
That's a great question, David. And especially the left-handed bat. They need that production along with Bellinger in the middle of that lineup there. They have... You know, they have enough right-handed hitting. You know, if Morel is Morel and Swanson and certainly the projections on Suzuki after two unbelievably great months last year, there's enough there. And don't sleep on Amaya, who's a very good hitter as a catcher and will continue to get more games behind the plate in 2024. But, you know, I just think that Busch is a key. You know, are you worried that he's this year's Mervis? You know?
I wonder about that, right. And I think that's not fair to Michael Busch, but it is understandable if Cub fans have that question.
Yeah, and again, you know, can you live with this player development? You know, with Morel at third, with Busch at first. You know, these are player development situations that are a must for an organization that doesn't want to continue to go through building through free agency.
Who's the opening day DH?
I would say it's probably...
Garrett Cooper?
Tauchman? Is there a right-hander for Texas?
Eovaldi's pitching.
Yeah, I would say David Peralta.
Wow. All right. That's not a name that I would have expected, certainly not in the offseason. He's signed to a minor league deal, going to make the team.
I think he will. I think if Smith isn't there, I think he makes it.
That's going to be I wondered if you were going to – I thought you were going to throw out a Miles Mastroboni at me.
Right. I mean, most people would say Tauchman, okay? I would just say Peralta is, you know, he was a very good hitter before the end of last year.
And Patrick Wisdom being hurt kind of takes him out of the mix.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're not going to start him against a right-hander probably at this point.
David Bodie goes down to Iowa to be the mentor down there. Again, we talked about him last week.
For $5.2 million.
A well-paid mentor.
Yes, he is.
I'm available. I could impart my wisdom on those Cub minor leaguers for $5 million, though. How about that, Bruce?
Our projections are next.
Okay. We are going to make our predictions for the 2024 baseball season, both sides of town, throughout the league. Bruce Levine, David Haw, it's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.